Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. You'll find that on page 742 in our red pew Bible, 742. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning our reading at verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he that is Jesus went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting aside his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answering and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Please, let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I ask this day that the word of God would do its perfect work and that the Holy Spirit would take this word and write it upon each one of our hearts. Lord, I do not know the state or condition of the souls of people in this building. For man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And therefore we pray, Lord, today that the Holy Spirit would take this word and write it upon the heart of every person. That those of us who know the Savior might rejoice in the salvation that we have. Rejoice in the fact that though once we were blind, yet now we see. And Lord, I ask that for those who are unsaved, they would come to realize that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Lord, speak, I pray, this day. Come near and help me to speak Thy word plainly and carefully. And Lord, do not allow anyone to go from this house today not clearly understanding the Word of God. Bless this to us now. We ask this in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Both Mark's Gospel and Luke identify that one man appealed to Jesus to be healed of his infirmity. He was a blind man. However, Matthew specifically states that there were two men who were healed. Those who look for contradictions in the Bible would surely claim that this was one. For how can one gospel say one thing and two other gospels say another thing? Yet for those who take the time to investigate and to understand that the gospels complement rather than contradict one another, the answer will be quite clear. And the facts of the case, as you compare them, as well as many other similar cases in the New Testament, they give rather a fuller and more complete understanding of all the necessary details coming forward. In this case, Mark and Luke focus on the fact of the miracle, highlighting the more prominent character, whom Mark identifies as Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Luke leaving him as a certain blind man. But there was another man whom Matthew records who was with Bartimaeus, and he was some kind of a companion. So why does Matthew mention the two men and the other two Gospels mention one? Well, perhaps the answer could be found in the fact that the Gospel of Matthew is primarily one that was written to the Jewish mind. One that was going to have a specific emphasis upon the numbers of people. And this will be borne out as you look in chapter 1 of Matthew and look at the detailed genealogies from Adam right down to Christ, being very specific. And those examples are multiplied in Matthew's Gospel. But the fact should not be lost that regardless of the amount of details we have and the fact that when you compare all the Gospels, they give the full picture, the complete understanding. The Lord Jesus Christ had been traveling to Jericho and had gone into Jericho for a period of time. And then it was on his way out of Jericho again that he is confronted by this particular man who comes to the forefront in our text today in Mark's Gospel. I want us to look at this story this morning, and I want you to see here is a man in great need. Here was a man who in the time of his great need did the only thing that was available and possible to him at this time, and he called out unto the Lord of mercy to obtain mercy from the great God and the Savior who was the worker of great miracles. And my prayer is today that anyone here in our service who does not know the Savior would come to pay very close attention, for here is a man that is similar to us in many, many ways. The first thing that we have to notice from this text is there is a condition that could not be denied. A condition that could not be denied. The account is very clear. He is blind Bartimaeus. But his name was not very much encouragement. For it means he was the son of Timaeus. The word bar means son. And quite clearly in our text, he is Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. We don't know by the account if he was blind from birth or not. It does not give that detail. But I believe that there is a reference here that would indicate something along that line. Because the word Timaeus, strangely enough, means foul or unclean. Something that is polluted. And so here we have a man perhaps born into a situation of poverty. For whatever reason, he bears this name. His father bore the same name. And so this man who is seated at the gate, Jericho, has the name Bartimaeus. If his reputation was anything like his name, it is no wonder that the people rebuked him for troubling the Savior at this particular time. We do not know how long he was blind, but I believe that there is strong indication that he had this malady for many, many years, as he had the reputation of being a beggar. There are commonly two types of blindness. Well, at least two and possibly three. There is something called transient blindness, which is also called a blackout. It affects pilots. It would affect astronauts under an extreme acceleration, 5 or 6 times that of gravity, when it exerts its force from head to foot and the blood drains from the head, and there can be something called a blackout. But there is something else called continuing blindness that arises either from an injury or a disease of the optic nerve or of the retina of the eye. In these cases, there is no medical remedy. And from the context, there is little doubt that this man was incurably blind. There was no medical possibility for him to be cured from his blindness. Like Bartimaeus, we in this very building today have an association with Him. Because we also are incurably blind, but it is in the third aspect, and it comes into the spiritual realm. Each one of us have been born in sin and therefore have been born blind. In fact, we are told in the book of Ephesians that we are dead in trespasses and in sins. The physical blindness that this man had was a serious malady, but it was nothing compared to the spiritual blindness that he had. It's nothing, my friend, compared to the spiritual blindness that many in this room have had, and perhaps some still have. When spiritual blindness is over the soul, the very basic concepts of God are distorted. And you, if you are unsaved today, then you are clouded with a blindness that covers your eyes. And so that whatever comes into your mind as a concept of God or of understanding the purposes of God, you do not see them clearly. In fact, it tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, because they are only going to be discerned spiritually. In other words, when our eyes have been opened spiritually, then we come to see clearly the things of God. But my friend, spiritual blindness is the worst kind of blindness, because it not only deals with things that are physical, because there's no question that spiritual blindness affects physical realities in this world, but it goes beyond that to the afterlife and to the next life. Because if we do not have a cure for our spiritual blindness, we shall be separated from God. A very cursory examination of the religions of the world will show how that they fumble in the darkness of their own intellect and of their own reasoning, and they multiply works and activities thinking that they have sight, when in reality, the Bible says that their works are evil because their hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. In fact, in Matthew 6, we are told by the Lord, "But if thine eye be evil, thine whole body shall be full of darkness." Absolutely full to the brim. There is no light that gets into the mind and heart of someone who is spiritually blind. Now, the seriousness of this problem is that each one of us have been born in sin and shapen in iniquity. When we are born, because we have come from Adam's fallen race, there is that cloud that covers our eyes, and we cannot see things spiritually. We are dead in trespasses and in sins, and this condition that each one of us bears cannot be denied. As you compare yourself and look into the image of Scripture and look at the image of the commandments of God and how we fare according to that great standard. No, we're very similar to Bartimaeus in that way. But the blindness that we have, being spiritual blindness, is worse. But there's something further that we see from this story, and it is a cry that could not be ignored. You see, Bartimaeus had a realization of his condition. For Bartimaeus, the understanding of his condition came when he was old enough to understand. If we deduce that he was born blind, he did not know he was blind when he was a baby. And he went through his toddler years and played and did whatever other children would do, and he did not realize that he was blind until he came to the day and the time of his understanding, when someone could communicate to him what it meant to have sight. And my friend, though we are born blind, there comes a day when we understand that we are sinners in the eyes of God. And however long he had been blind, it certainly affected him in his entire life, for he lived in poverty. He depended on the charity of others as he begged by the city gate. How he longed to see as other men saw. How he longed to have eyesight, that he could have a degree of normality in his physical life and see as other people were able to see. Oh, he had a realization of his condition. And this would explain somewhat of the urgency of his cry when he spoke out to the Lord, "Have mercy on me." And he cried out. He had heard that this Jesus of Nazareth had healed many people. And he heard now that the Lord was passing by. And my friend, is the Holy Spirit striving with your heart today? Do you have a realization that you are a sinner before God and that the only remedy is that you come to call upon the Lord? Let me say to you that Christ is passing by this day and His arms are open to you. Has the Spirit of God been putting His hand upon your heart and convicting you of your sin? You begin to realize that if I do not have sight spiritually, if I do not have an understanding of who Christ is, then I will indeed be remaining blind in the worst kind of blindness. In fact, it's only when you realize this, my friend, that you will begin to seek help and you'll begin to cry out as Bartimaeus cried out. But there has to come, first of all, a realization that you are a sinner before God. You see, it's not until a person admits they have a drinking problem that they will seek help for alcoholism. It's not until a person realizes that they have a difficulty with drug abuse that they will seek some kind of rehabilitation. Those who live in denial of the most obvious problems are not going to seek help. And the most difficult type of person to deal with is a person who says, "I have no sin that is worth dealing about or thinking about or being concerned of. I am not a murderer, an adulterer. I am not a sinner as other men are sinners." And how true it is when Jesus said, "I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And it is not, my friend, until you understand and see yourself as the most vile and wicked sinner in the eyes of a holy God, that you will begin to see and recognize, "I have need. I have a condition that I cannot deal with myself. I need the assistance of a higher power. I need to have a supernatural hand upon me. I need the touch of God upon my life and upon my soul." He came to the Lord with a cry that could not be ignored because he realized his problem. But notice also in this the reaction of the people. In verse 48, "And many charged him that he should hold his peace." I suppose as the crowd was walking with the Lord out of Jericho, and when this man got word that the Lord was there, he began to shout. He began to cry out and make a noise, and he was becoming perhaps a bit of an annoyance, perhaps a disturbance. And the crowd were annoyed at hearing this man, and so their reaction to him was, "Keep quiet. Don't disturb us. We don't want to hear this." You see, they did not ignore his response. They did not ignore his cry. But their response was the wrong response. Perhaps he was an embarrassment to the local people. Perhaps he broke the concentration of those who were interested in hearing or seeing Christ as he walked along. "Do not trouble us with your yelling. It's bad enough we have to put up with your begging day by day." Let this be a word to us, believer. Beware of ignoring people. It is all too possible that we are like the apostles who wanted to send the people away. We don't know how to deal with this situation. We'll just send them away. The children were coming to the Lord. We don't want them. Just send them away. Beware, my friend, that we do not become so busy in our activities that we forget about people. Because this is the very reason of our ministry of dealing with people. We are not to be overcome by the machinery and by the organization. The Lord help us to keep our eyes focused upon people. As pastors, we can so appreciate the respect that everyone has for the time of the pastor and the busyness of the schedule. Sometimes when people would come and speak to you about a problem, they apologize because they don't want to trouble us about their particular problem because of the busyness of the schedule or because of other things. But my friend, don't ever think that way. Because the very ministry of people is the most important aspect. And if we forget about people, then we have lost focus and lost vision and lost the calling and the purpose of the Lord. Let that be a word of warning. The response of these people, the reaction they had was the wrong one. For they pushed this man aside and they wanted him to keep quiet. It was not the Spirit of Christ. And how we must guard against a very selfish spirit, selfish attitudes in a circumstance like this. But there was something else here about this cry that could not be ignored. This man refused to give up. Notice again in verse 48, please, it says, many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He refused to be quieted. He refused to give up. So desperate was his need and so near the opportunity that he had to cry out and he couldn't stop. He had to get the Lord's attention. This man had come to recognize what many people were still blind to. Oh, other people had their physical eyesight, but they did not have their spiritual eyesight. And I suggest to you, my friend, that at this very time, as this Bartimaeus was crying out to the Lord, he already had obtained his spiritual eyesight. For he had cried the cry of faith. For the Lord commended him later as he dealt with him. As he came to cry out, what would you have me to do, Lord, that I might receive my sight? And the Lord said to him, Thy faith hath made thee whole. And how the Lord repeated that to the Syrophoenician woman. To others who came in their weakness, depending completely upon the Lord. He would not be quieted. His cry couldn't be ignored. Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Every time I come to this text of Scripture, I can't help thinking about the story of John Huss. For John Huss was the Bohemian reformer. And as he was being tied to the stake to be burned to death, this was the song that was upon his lips. Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Did the Lord fail John Huss in that day? Oh no, my friend. For the Lord was standing there to welcome His servant into His very presence. Yes, he was martyred because of the bigotry and the intolerance of the Roman system at that time, for they had rejected the truth. And this man who had received the truth refused to compromise. He refused to jettison his faith just to be accepted by the people. Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. This man had come to recognize what many were still blind to, and the one who was passing by him at this time was the very fulfillment of the prophecy that was spoken to David, that you shall have a son. And the son of David, the son of the line of David, would become the Messiah, the Deliverer, the Savior of Israel. And certainly, the Savior of the world. Isaiah 7 and 14, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. And so as Bartimaeus heard that word, Jesus, he knew He was the Son of David. He accepted Him as his Messiah, and he knew at that point He was God manifest in the flesh, and He needed to get His attention. His refusal to give up . There have been numerous people that have endured great difficulty, the great difficulty of physical blindness. And yet, they have had a clearer vision of the truth and of the purposes of God because they have seen with the eye of faith. They have perceived by the light of God the most important things. And this is what Bartimaeus saw. The Holy Ghost had touched his heart. He was brought by faith to receive Christ as the Son of David, the greater Son of God. In this cry that could not be ignored by blind Bartimaeus, we have the response of the Savior. Please notice in verse 49, and Jesus stood still. Can you picture this scene in your mind's eye? We don't know how many people were coming out of Jericho, but it seems that there was a crowd of people. And as they came out, there was a lot of noise around. It would have been the regular noise of the activity of people, of a crowd, mingling and talking and listening and the bustling of it. And yet, the Lord heard. The Lord's ear was attuned to the cry of this particular man, and He heard him. And Jesus stood still. I think this is most significant as we find it recorded in Mark's Gospel here, because the key word of Mark's Gospel is the word straightway. It expresses of something of the immediateness or the action of Christ. It follows through the entire Gospel. And here Mark emphasizes this because it is believed Mark was writing to the Roman citizen, primarily. He was writing to the Roman mind. The Roman was a man of action. He was a man of industry. A man who wanted to see things done quickly and precisely. And so we have the repetition throughout Mark's Gospel of the word straightway, immediately. At this time. But these words stand in contrast to that. And we have the Lord, Jesus, standing still. Why is He standing still? Because He has heard a cry for help. He has heard a cry for salvation. And He stops in His pathway. And when the Lord stops, the entire crowd stops. Because when the Lord takes notice of something, in one essence, the whole world comes to a standstill when the Lord is going to deal with a sinner. Because He deals with a sinner individually. He deals with him personally. And He dealt with this particular blind Bartimaeus. And the cry of faith could not be ignored by the Lord, even over the many other voices that were heard at that time. Then Jesus commanded him to be called. Oh, what joy. Bartimaeus, keep quiet. We don't want to hear any more of you. And then finally someone comes to him, perhaps one of the disciples, and comforts him and says, be of good comfort, Bartimaeus. the Lord calls for you. And this man who had been calling out for the Lord now has been called by the Lord. Comes to stand before Christ. His appeal had been heard. And now he is at the feet of the Lord Jesus. The Lord, my friends, is a God of great mercy. For His mercy endureth forever. It was the mercy of God that gave to Adam and Eve coats of skins in the Garden of Eden to cover their nakedness. And the Lord in His mercy killed the innocent to cover the guilty. It was the Lord, it's recorded, that laid hold upon Lot, the mercy of the Lord, and pulled him out of Lot, out of Sodom, before it was going to be destroyed. It was the mercy of Christ that turned to the dying thief and said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." It is the mercy of God toward each one of us that the Savior was given as the salvation for our souls. The Lord said to him in verse 51, Jesus answered, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord." Right there, the recognition that he had humbled himself and recognized his messiahship. "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Very specific. Oh, my friends, the response of the Savior was that he stood still and listened. His ear was open to the cry of this man. You see, it could not be ignored. There's something else we have here. And that is in the text, a cure that could not be disputed. And here we have the contrast, as I've told you already, of Jesus standing still. And yet we find the word immediately, which is a key word in Mark's Gospel. In verse 52, Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight. Here was a miracle done to a man that no one denied was a blind man. This was not a conjuring trick. This was not something done by so many of these so-called TV evangelists that think they're doing miracles or that pretend they're doing miracles. This was something done undeniably in the public forum. Everyone watched as the Lord did this, and no one denied this blind man who bears that name to this very day, blind Bartimaeus, similar to Rahab the harlot, blind Bartimaeus, yet he had received his sight. Oh, the skeptics would want to say, "It's not true." But their lips were sealed that day. They had nothing to say. They saw it with their own eyes. And the community knew that there was a great change that happened. The evidence of a changed life, my friend, is perhaps the most convincing evidence to unbelievers. Theoretical Christianity is one thing, but when it becomes practical, when you see the drunk give up his drink, and when you see the drug addict give up his drugs, when you see the adulterer give up his adultery, the community notices there is a change. A person has come to light. And I know that if I was to ask the testimony of any one of you here in this place, you could also say, "Yes, it is true. My life went through a tremendous change. And there are things that I used to do as a habit, not troubled by it all, wicked sins, gross sins. And you've left them. There's been a change. And the change is so prominent that your workmates, they noticed it. Your family members, they observed it. They knew there was a difference." And when Bartimaeus was cured by the Lord, there was an evident difference in him. He was changed. Practical change occurs in the life of one who is known for wickedness and vice. The testimony is very loud and very clear. But there is finally a consequence that proved he was a different man. There is a consequence that followed. And verse 52 at the very end, after he had received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. No longer did he have to follow holding on to the coattails of someone else. No longer did he have to be led to the Lord because he could not see his way. Now he saw. This man received a double blessing. Not only was his physical eyesight restored, but he also was granted spiritual eyesight. And he saw the Lord who he was. And the change was so different, and the consequence evident, that he followed the Lord. We're told in Luke's Gospel that all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. All the people. Here was a consequence. It was evident something had happened. My friend, when you're changed by the Lord, when His grace comes in your life, and there is a radical change, that the difference is going to be in the evidence. Are you following the Lord today? Are you seeking after Christ? Are you endeavoring to follow in His footsteps, obeying His Word, listening and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit's call and direction in your life? Ah, my friends, is it evident that you are a Christian? It was evident in the life of this man. I pray that the Lord would help us to bear that testimony. As Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Friend, if you do not know the Lord today in your heart, I encourage you to come to Christ today, right now, where you are sitting. Bow your head and simply call upon Him and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, give me that spiritual eyesight that I so much stand in need of. May the Lord bless His Word to us today. We're going to conclude our service with hymn number 312.